So thank you all for inviting us here to talk about environmental conditions and reproductive health outcomes. As noted, one of these things is not like the other. Three of the presentations are going to be focusing on one aspect of the built environment, and I'm going to be talking about the overall environmental soup to which women are exposed. By way of disclosure, I am an assistant professor at Duke University. I am also, however, a paid contractor for the Environmental Protection Agency, and I've been contracted to contribute to the research that we will be reporting on today. So we know that exposures to harmful and benign factors occur simultaneously, and that this is not random. Lots of adverse exposures tend to cluster in high minority and low wealth neighborhoods, whereas higher income neighborhoods tend to have lots of positive health promoting features. And that good and poor health results from multifactorial exposures. No one exposure explains good or poor health outcomes. But when we want to describe the overall soup to which we're exposed, we often lump it into five different domains: the air domain, built domain, land, water, and sociodemographic or social determinants domain. The Environmental Protection Agency is working to construct an overall environmental quality index using variables from all five of these domains for each county in the United States. The Environmental Quality Index, I'll probably call that the EQI, that I'll be talking about here is preliminary. And by preliminary, I mean really super preliminary. I'm going to call it the proto-EQI, but it's probably the pre-proto-EQI, so you know, don't take too many notes quite yet. In order to construct the EQI, or the proto-EQI, we needed to collect data. Well, actually, we needed to obtain data. We didn't collect any specific data. We needed to get data sources representing each of the five domains. Not a small task. So what I've shown you here are the different data sources that have gone into the construction of the proto-EQI. For the air domain, we have the EPA air quality system and the National Air Toxics Assessment data. For the water domain sources, we have the WATERS database, the National Water Information Systems, Safe Drinking Water Information System, National Containment Occurrence Database, National Atmospheric Deposition Program, Water Use Estimates, and Drought Monitor data. There are a lot of data sources that there are a lot of water data sources, in part because the coverage for water is somewhat sparse. And so lots of different data sources have to be used in order to be combined to provide a picture of water for the United States. Land data sources include the 2002 Census of Agriculture Full Report, the National Priority List, and that's the data source that includes like Superfund and brownfields and acres and, you know, all of those toxic things, and the National Geochemical Survey. Sociodemographic data. For the purpose of this particular proto-EQI, we're using 2000 census. That's in large part because of the birth outcomes that we will be linking to later. Obviously, that can change temporally, but for now, we're using the 2000 census, uniform crime reports, and Home Mortgage Disclosure Act data. And then last, for the built environment data sources, we're using Dun & Bradstreet, the North American Industry Classification System codes. We're using TIGER, the roadway data, in order to be able to think about the road system in the United States, Fatality Annual Reporting System, for those are traffic fatalities, and Housing and Urban Development data. So those are the data sources. And as you can well imagine, each of those data sources could give rise to hundreds of possible variables, and they do. So the next slide I will show you are just a sample of the variables from each of the different domains. You can see for the air domain, we'll include variables like criteria and hazardous air pollutants, particulate matter, sulfur dioxide, chlorine, lead compounds. Water domain will include contaminants present, drought status, number of discharge permits, water withdrawals for domestic uses. The land domain will include variables like the percent of land in wheat or rice, the percentage of land that was insecticide treated for crops, the count of Superfund sites or brownfield sites, and mean values of arsenic from sediment samples. Sociodemographic variables will include, you know, census data like the mean household income or the percent of individuals with less than a high school education, but we'll also be including violent crime rate and vehicle theft rate. And then from built environment, we'll be looking at things like density of fast food restaurants for our county, percent of all roadways that are highways or secondary roads, the density of fatal accidents per county, and the density of public housing units. Again, samples. So this is a picture. We're going to start with a picture of how we will combine all of these variables conceptually. So I mentioned, I'm just going to start, describe the air variables. There are about 109 air variables that we will be including to represent the air environment. So those 109 variables will be combined into a single index that we're calling the air index. And then that will happen for the water variables, the land variables, the built environment variables, and the socio-demographic variables. Each of those, you know, all the domain-specific variables will be combined into one domain-specific index, and then that domain, each of those domain-specific indices will then be combined into this total EQI. And in order to do this, we're going to use principal components analysis. Principal components analysis is a data reduction approach that will reduce the multiple variables representing each domain into the domain-specific indices, which we then will combine into one overall EQI index. So if you can imagine the EQI index for County J, we're going to pretend like that's Los Angeles County, and if we pretend like we're constructing the air index for Los Angeles County, the beta represents the loading for the air index, and X represents the value of the air index for County J, for Los Angeles County. And so each of these get constructed for each of the domains, which then also get constructed for the total EQI. So because we recognize that urban and rural environments are really different from each other, and that variable loadings are undoubtedly going to differ by rural-urban status, this whole gamish doesn't actually work. And so what we realized is that we need to construct stratified EQIs. And to do so, we used the Rural-Urban Continuum Code Classification System, which classifies counties by both size and proximity to metropolitan area. There are 9 different codes the USDA creates these codes. No, that's not right. That's a different classification system. In any case, there are 9 different codes that can be lumped into 4 different strata. And so we have the RUCC1, metropolitan urbanized, RUCC2, the non-metropolitan urbanized, 3 represents less urbanized counties, and 4 thinly populated. So now we're not just constructing one proto-EQI, we're actually constructing 4. And to represent these different urban-rural classifications. All the last few minutes, that's all been about the exposure side of the equation. The outcome side is pretty simple. For the analysis that I'm going to be presenting now, so I had to give that big overview so you knew what I was talking about when I talked about this proto-EQI, and I know it was superficial and a lot of glossing over, but best I could do given 15 minutes. So the outcome side, we're restricting this analysis to North Carolina. And to do so, we're looking at North Carolina birth data. 2000 to 2005, geo-quoted North Carolina birth records. We're looking at only the non-Hispanic white, black, or Hispanic women who give birth in North Carolina. We're linking their maternal county of residence to the county-level EQI, or proto-EQI score. And I'll be presenting 3 outcomes. Preterm birth, which is defined as less than 37 weeks completed gestation, low birth weight, which is less than 2,500 grams at birth, and small for gestational age, which is less than 10th percentile of weight for gestational age. In order to conduct these analyses, these analyses will be fixed slope, random intercept, multi-level models, and they're clustered at the county level, which allows the county level baseline risk to vary. For instance, the risk of preterm birth in Hyde County is very different from, you know, more rural Mecklenburg County. The models are all adjusted for maternal age, education, marital status, and parity. And for each of the models, so these are logistic models because the outcome is either yes, a preterm birth, or no, not a preterm birth. But the exposure level is going to be, the exposure is continuous. So it's the continuous proto-EQI for each strata of RUCC. This is the number of women or births and adverse birth outcomes for white non-Hispanic, black non-Hispanic, and Hispanic women in North Carolina for the years 2000 to 2005. And you can see that the racial disparity that we have come to expect for adverse birth outcomes is present in North Carolina as well. This slide is pretty busy, but it's not as intimidating as it might look. The first number is the count of births. So what I'm trying to show you on the y-axis are each of the RUCC counties. And then across the top, we have the count of births in each of those, or the count of births in across those 40 counties, for instance, for RUCC1, the mean proto-EQI score, and the range. It's important to note that there are enough births, even for Hispanic women, for which there are only 342 births. Those 342 births get distributed across 21 counties. So we have enough data to work with. I'm now going to show you three results slides, and they all look exactly like this. So I'm going to take a minute to orient you. On the y-axis, you'll see on the log scale, odds ratios, and 95% confidence intervals, the line is through the 1, which is the line where there's no statistical significance if a 95% confidence interval crosses that 1. The green diamonds are white non-Hispanic women, the purple diamonds are black non-Hispanic women, and the blue diamonds are Hispanic women, and the lines represent the 95% confidence intervals. Across the x-axis, you can see each of the results presented for the first, second, and third, and fourth RUCC code. Obviously, as you get to RUCC4, the results are a lot, there's a lot more heterogeneity, a lot less precision, there are less women represented there, and that's why there are less women there. So I'm going to point out one thing to note of interest, which is the third code, the non-urbanized. Across all of these, you will see there is nothing going on with this third RUCC3, and I'm not quite sure why that is. In general, we see not a lot going on for this RUCC1. For white and black non-Hispanic women who live in counties, the RUCC2, the not quite as urban counties, there appears to be an association, an increased odds of preterm birth as this proto-EQI index increases as well. Whereas for Hispanic women, that relationship is exactly reversed. This is the same slide looking at low birth weight. And what we see is that for white non-Hispanic women and white non-Hispanic women living in the most urban areas, there is a decreased odds of low birth weight as the proto-EQI value increases. That's not true for RUCC2, nothing going on in RUCC3, and we see a protective effect of increasing values of this proto-EQI for Hispanic women living in the most rural settings. And SGA, again, is very similar. So I warned you at the beginning that this is the pre-proto-EQI. I am not going to make a ton out of these results. This is the beginning, and we're starting to look at this. What we see is there appear to be some patterns. We're not quite sure what these patterns mean. So if you want to talk more about the slides, I promise we can in the discussion section. But if you don't mind, I'm going to move on to the summary. For this, which is among women living in the most urban North Carolina counties, higher values on the proto-EQI was associated with lower odds of all three birth outcomes for white non-Hispanic women. Among those living in non-urbanized North Carolina metropolitan counties, higher values on the proto-EQI was associated with an increased odds of preterm birth for white and black non-Hispanic women and low birth weight for white non-Hispanic women as well. RUCC3, these less urban counties, nothing going on. Not quite sure why that is, except for I think that it is a heterogeneous group of counties. We are trying to figure out what those counties represent because it's not immediately apparent to us, but nothing going on there. And then in terms of the most rural counties, what we saw was a lot of protective effects for Hispanic women. So I'm not going to go to the bank on these results, but what we did see was that there were some associations between the proto-EQI and birth outcomes, and that these differed both by rural-urban status and also by race ethnicity. That's a little bit annoying, right? It would be really nice if we could just have one thing that fit all, but of course it's not going to be like that, and it's much more complicated. So we're going to get to look at this continuously now, from stratified by race, ethnicity, and levels of urbanicity. The observed differences may result from a number of factors, only some of which I've listed here and which we are exploring in depth. Future work certainly is going to allow us to explore what variables appear to be driving some of these differential associations and really sort of determine if that's appropriate or have we messed up. In terms of limitations, we've got two levels of limitations that I need to mention. The first is in the construction of the proto-EQI, and the second is in the analysis that I presented. In terms of construction, the proto-EQI is limited in terms of spatial coverage and the temporal coverage of the variables. These variables were not generally collected for public health purposes, and so we're having to cobble together a bunch of information that wasn't necessarily designed for this purpose. So we have some spatial coverage issues. Also, data is much better collected in urban areas than in rural areas, and so we know there's a potential for bias there. In terms of the analyses, suffice it to say we saw unanticipated patterns of association between the proto-EQI and adverse birth outcomes. We're not quite sure what those patterns mean, and we need to be exploring that. We also only used one state's data, and North Carolina may not be representative of much of anything else, and certainly county may be more diffuse from meaningful associations. I didn't just mean to undermine my colleagues when I said that about North Carolina. I'm so sorry. Proto-EQI, in terms of strengths, the construction, it was the first attempt to model the multifactorial nature of environmental exposures. We were able to incorporate multiple variables representing multiple domains, and many of the loadings in the urban-rural strata were appropriate. We thought that we really had captured what we needed to capture. In terms of the analyses, there were large numbers of women distributed across the 100 counties in North Carolina, and we were able to observe small effects. And certainly these analyses brought insight for future explorations and diagnostics. I am going to let you look at this slide. We have lots of work left to do, but I am out of time, and I'm not going to spend any time on this except for to move on to the acknowledgement. Certainly we'd like to thank the funders, the EPA, and lots of great help in the form of Suzanne Pearson, Barbara Rosenbaum, Mark Murphy, Janae Smith, and Kyle Meisser. And lastly, here's the EPA disclosure, or disclaimer rather. And with that, I will thank you very much.